Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from New York.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? We're back, and we are here doing what we do the better than anyone else in this whole entire planet. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
She caught that perfect. And we are the Carolyn and Joe Show! Hey, Carolyn. How you doing?
I'm good. I feel like it would be cool if we one time did like this episode from a cave and just put total echo on our voices.
We can all have total echo right now. We're in the echo
yes,
zone.
The echo chamber.
Or we're in like the outer space. Interstellar world talking one day.
Hi, Earthlings.
One day. So, just for you people who are first time listeners, my name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, a writer, a photographer, whatever it is one of you call me, but mainly I'm a storyteller. And across from me is one of the most talented artists, creators in this whole entire planet. Nicest person in the world, Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm great.
Great.
And also, in addition to the greatness, we have a special guest in studio today.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and her name is Sammy. Sammy, say yes. Hi to the world.
Hi, hello.
Hey, Sammy. So this is the first time you've ever been on a podcast?
Yes.
But you've known of podcasts?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any that you specifically listen to?
I used to listen to Night Vale.
Okay.
But that was a long time ago, and I never finished.
Well, so, it's still there for you, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about podcasts. We're always here for you. Yeah, Sammy has been awesome this summer. She's an intern for Krill Studio this summer. She's been doing lots of great stuff, and we're also going to work on a mini comic together, so that's exciting.
Yeah!
And I guess we should tell people you just graduated from high school. Which,
yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty rad. And you are going to School of Visual Arts in New York, SVA, this August.
Yes. I'm really excited.
Wow. So we're already in August.
Yeah.
Now. And like, so this
month.
Yeah,
I only have a few weeks left before I leave.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm assuming that you're a fan of New York. Like, you must love it.
Yeah.
Have you been there a whole lot?
Yeah. Well, I did SVA's pre-college for like 3 years. So I've been there pretty frequently since like my freshman year of high school.
Like, I have no idea where that's located. Where is that located?
The school?
Yeah.
In Manhattan?
Like, right.
It's like right in there.
You're like
right,
in midtown,
right,
downtown?
Right in there. It's like down somewhere.
It's down somewhere. That's awesome though, because like, you know, New York is one of those pinnacle places. So you've always sort of been planning, like, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to New York.
Yes, that was always the plan in some way.
Yeah. I like that idea because like when I was growing up, the idea of, I mean, this is of course going to date me, but when I was growing up, New York was such a place where it's like, no, don't go there. You'll die because it's so scary. And like, you know, they're like, they were telling us don't go to certain streets. Don't even go to Times Square at that point. But now it's like, it's, you know, it's like, it's such a nice place.
Yeah.
Right?
Is yeah. it?
Giuliani cleaned it up from
yeah.
what I heard. But yeah. Now it's like pretty nice. I haven't been to any horrible parts in New York. I'm sure they exist.
There's gotta be.
Yeah. There's some bad places, but you just don't go there. You just stay in the nice places.
Yeah. It's nice to hear that it's cleaned up though. Like, it makes me think like it must have been pretty horrible. Like, 15 years ago.
Wait, hold that
but
thought.
But much like Richmond.
Hold that
that's
thought.
It.
It's time for Carolyn's news.
I must hold it. You guys.
I must hold it.
There's some news. There's some news here, okay? For those of you that haven't been keeping up to date, I'll let you know because you still have some time between current day and August 15th. We have a show up at Politics and Prose in Washington, D.C. at their coffee shop. It's pretty amazing, and it's called Cartoons. And I think it's a pretty clever title because everything is lowercase except for A-R-T. that's uppercase. Okay, like, I have to say, like, that's pretty, it's pretty awesome, because the art is, like, in the cartoons. Okay, yes, so we're going to have a closing reception on Saturday, August 15th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. I hope to see you there. I'm going to be there, and at the reception, we're going to have wine, lemonade, iced tea, fruit, vegetables, cheese, hummus, and more. Okay, what else could you want?
Is that actually advertised? Is that on the advertisement?
That's what we're having. That's on my advertisement, because that's what we're gonna have.
What was that again?
Oh my gosh!
You're gonna have what?
Wine, lemonade, iced tea, fruit, vegetables, cheese, hummus, and more.
Imagine if you mixed that iced tea with lemonade.
Then you would get an Arnold Palmer.
Why don't you advertise that? That'd be great.
I mean, you might have to mix it yourself. I don't know if, like, we have it already mixed.
Is this a box wine? Will it be a box wine?
I don't think so. This is, like, a legit wine.
Legit wine.
Yes. So, please join us there.
Not that I carry the way.
It's Inside Politics and Prose Bookstore, which is a really famous, awesome bookstore in Washington, D.C. They have, like, nice stuff, and they have authors come by there all the time, really famous people. It's amazing. So come by. The address is 5015 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. And you'll also be able to view all the cartoons that are up on the wall. It's gonna be great. I've already sold a piece to a lady who lives in Beijing. I mean, like, how amazing is that? We're going international. It's pretty awesome. But although you can't see the piece anymore because she had to leave to go to Beijing, and I had to, like, sell it so that she could get it beforehand. You know, all that rigmarole.
Rigmarole.
Yeah, so, but also I want to shout out to Teresa Roberts Logan for putting that, I guess technically she's a curator of that show. She has put that show together, and it's pretty amazing that we're able to show our stuff. And that coffee shop is pretty good too, you know? Check it out if you're on a lunch break or over the weekend, or if you want to come to our final reception, August 15th. Yes. Come get some hummus.
I haven't even seen any of the show. Usually the show is
politics. I've been there twice.
The shows over politics and prose have been pretty amazing. I always see great pictures there of like Michelle Obama and all these other great, you know,
yeah,
who's and what's it.
Lots of people are there. Like, lots of the top players and book authors are there doing signings and speaking, and they always have events going on all the time. It's an honor to be there.
Sammy, have you been there?
No, never.
Are you going to go to the show somehow?
Somehow, come back.
The show will come to you.
That would be nice.
Yeah. That's why I take pictures and put them online, because some people can't make it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to be able to, like, see that it exists.
That's almost pretty much how, like, a majority of the people experience shows or even, like, museum pieces. It's just, like, photos online.
I mean,
that's what the new style is.
Well, we went to MoMA to see the Tim Burton exhibit. That was, like, I guess the farthest I went just specifically to see an art show was going to New York to see that. And that was pretty amazing. And there was a lot of people there, like, attendees.
It was so many people that, like,
you had trouble walking.
It was just like a wall of people in front of a piece. And then people be like, wow, I didn't even know that Tim Burton drew, or who's this guy? You know what I mean?
What? He's an artist?
They always assume that it just starts right on the page. It's perfect, just the way Tim Burton is. So they never realize, like, oh yeah, he came from a school and was, like, handpicked.
Yeah.
You know, by the powers that be in Disney, I guess.
I mean, he also has some rejection letters in the exhibit, which I thought was pretty awesome.
That's the best works of art, is rejection letters.
Like, you put up your rejection letter, like, with your exhibit. It's like, here's all this great stuff I made, and by the way, I've also been rejected, but look at me now!
Yeah, it's like equivalent to a person that, like, was, like, picking a fight with you in high school, then the day after, or the moment after you actually beat that person up, then you say, like, that's what you get, you know? That's what the rejection letter is. That's to me exactly what it is.
Well, I also went to the, I guess around the year 2000, 1999, 2000, they had the Vincent van Gogh exhibits in the National Gallery, because I guess the Van Gogh Museum in Europe was going through renovations. So during that time, they were like, oh, well, let's send the pieces out to America. And so that was really cool to be able to see that. But that was locally, so I didn't have to go that far. But I just remember there being a huge line and, like,
in D.C.?
Yeah, crazy amounts of people, like, gonna go check out the Van Goghs. It was a good time. It was a good exhibit. I'd say, like, the Van Gogh exhibit and the Tim Burton exhibit were probably the best art exhibits I've been to.
Sam, in your school, did you put on a lot of, like, art shows, or were you part of any?
We had one art show. Like,
just one?
Well, there's only one at, like, it's the last day of class after 3 weeks of classes for the program.
Okay.
And everyone puts up their stuff, and, like, that's when people's parents come to pick them up. And everyone sees the whole thing. But we don't really do a lot because there's not enough time to make the art and then put it all up.
Why not enough time?
Because we're only there for, like, 3 weeks.
That's plenty of time, right? Well, I guess that's a good round of just, like, let's put one show up. Is that usually, like, a big deal for you guys when you did have that?
Yeah, because it was, like, we put up all the stuff that we've been working on for the 3 weeks, which is a lot of work because they make you work really hard.
Oh, so this is also the process?
It's everything. You put everything that you have up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work, and it takes a long time just to put everything up because you have so much stuff.
Yeah.
But, it makes it a bigger deal that way because it's everything, and you're with your friends who you just met, and it's great.
So when you go to New York, is that what's your focus? What's going to be your focus? Like your, is there like a sort of department or a certain like skill set that you're trying to focus on for the school?
Sort of. I mean, my major is cartooning, so I'm going to be focusing on
making cartoons. All right, cool.
But yeah. The first year of school is foundation year, so we don't actually get to choose any of our classes.
That sounds familiar, Carol.
Yeah. I don't have any cartooning classes my first year. I have, like, all this other stuff. I have to take, like, a literature class, too.
Oh, wow.
For writing, yeah.
That's good, though.
It's good, but
because I feel like it. I need to like bone up on my writing, you know, like sometimes I'm like, okay, well, you can draw all day, but if you don't have the writing down,
that is true.
You need to have the writing.
You need
down.
To have a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like when it comes to literature, what exactly is not so like exciting for you? Because it's not cartooning. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing I'm worried about with that class is just like keeping up with the reading because I'm such a slow reader. And
are you?
Like, yeah. Like,
what do you mean by slow? Like you have to read one word like every 10 seconds or something like that?
I don't know. I haven't timed it like that, but I'm usually behind in reading schedules.
Because I know for me when I read something, 2 minutes will go by and I'm like, crap, I've been through 10 pages. I don't remember what just happened.
Oh my God. No, I spend like 10 minutes on the same page.
You have to like reread it.
Yeah, I have to read through it a million times. Maybe I read it, like I read it, but nothing actually is processed.
Is it because the book is bad?
It could, yeah. Because usually, actually, it's because the book is bad. If it's really good, maybe I'll get through it a little quicker.
See, I always think that's the problem. It's like people are always like, well, you didn't understand that book? I was like, because it sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about it. Because I bet you've read some books that have been like amazing, and you're like, wow, that was such an easy read.
Well, even amazing books for me take usually longer than other people, but they take less time than the books that I hate. So,
well, there you go.
I guess that is true.
But yeah. When you compare it to other people's reading, do they actually like understand and enjoy the book, enjoy it as much as you did?
Yeah.
Actually, do they really?
Sometimes they're actually better at me at analyzing and stuff. It's not my thing. I'm not very good at it.
It's not my thing. Thus, my shelf is full of barely any novels, except for interviews. Do you like reading books that are just like interview books that just have like conversations with people?
I've never read a book like that.
What? Carolyn just got one.
Yeah, I got the Judd Apatow Sick in the Head book when he interviews all these comedians. It's really cool.
You know Judd Apatow?
No.
Oh.
Let's educate.
That's
Sammy.
Like Carolyn and I's dream circle to be in.
Okay, like
or
you
one
probably,
of ours.
You probably like have heard of the stuff that he does though.
Maybe.
Well, he's a director and producer in Hollywood.
And writer.
And writer, and like recently he was working with Amy Schumer on her movie that just came out.
Oh yeah.
Trainwreck.
Right.
So you probably have heard of like a 40-year-old virgin.
Yes.
Okay, he worked on that.
Have you heard of Knocked Up?
Yes.
Have you heard of
Freaks and Geeks?
Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
Have you heard of what is it? This is 40.
Mm.
Do you know of like Seth Rogen and Jason Segel?
Yeah. Well, James Franco.
Or James Franco.
He created all those.
Yeah, he basically created them.
Oh, okay.
And then the cool thing was like when I was younger, there was this movie when I was like I guess in around 4th grade. Called Heavyweights, and it's like it's a Disney live action movie about like all these fat kids that go to camp to like lose weight, and Ben Stiller is like the camp counselor, and he's like all thin and like muscular.
Good.
And he's like we're gonna whip you guys into shape, you know, like he's all crazy and stuff. Well, like that movie I don't know what it is, but there's something about that movie that I, like, adore. And I didn't, like, pay attention to credits when I was younger. I wasn't like, oh, who worked on this? You know, unless it was, like, super obvious. Like, I knew who, right. like, Mel Gibson was or something. But other than that, like, I didn't pay attention to, like, oh, who was the producer of this? Who wrote this? Like, I didn't pay attention. And then years later, Freaks and Geeks came along, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then IMDb was around, so, like, I instantly hooked it up, and I was like, oh my god, this is the same guy that made Heavyweights? Like, the circle was complete, and then I was like, okay, Judd Apatow, he must be, like, in my circle, in my heroes. But also Paul Feig, too. They both worked on, and Paul Feig was the director of Bridesmaids. So now they're all, like, super huge.
But basically, so Judd Apatow, like, when was it, just this month, came out with a book that's basically, when he was growing up, he interviewed all these comedians that he really admired. And now it's just like a whole collection of these interviews that he had. So you get to read like the transcripts, and these are all the people that he's learned from, that he's like, you know, learned how to, you know, do comedy and, like, learned how to do writing. And
he was college roommates with Adam Sandler. And he interviewed Jerry Seinfeld when he was like in high school.
That's cool.
So these,
it's really cool.
Like, to me, like, I'm a big fan of like interview books or interview magazines, like actual interview magazine. Have you heard of that magazine? Greatest magazine ever. I swear by that.
And
magazine.
It was like, I guess, originated by Andy Warhol.
But like, but literally, interview magazine to me is like what we're doing right now. Like, artists just talking to each other, and they just print out the whole conversation.
Oh, I would not know anything about that.
But you probably like, but when you see people on there, it's like, oh, it's like Johnny Depp talking to Christina Ricci. And it's just like people like interviewing each other like that.
Yeah.
And I'm really, I like that type of perspective, so to speak.
Yeah. I have a good time like reading biographies. Like, Tina Fey has a book called Bossy Pants, and I read through that, like, it was a breeze. Like, it was not hard for me at all. So, I mean, I guess maybe just learning about people and stuff is helpful.
You know what,
for me, reading.
One thing that I liked about the way Judd Apatow thinks, because I think of like cartoonists in a way, and also this is also how Will Eisner talks about cartoonists. You guys are also actors performing on the page. You're drawing the performance on the page, and you guys are going through the actors. You guys are the actors.
Yeah.
So with Judd Apatow, he would tell the actors he's worked with, you know, like the ones he like, you know, like Jason Segel. This is what I heard from Jason Segel on WTF podcast, was that Judd Apatow said the key to your survival is pretty much to learn to write, because no one's going to hand you a story. No one's going to hand you a script that's made specifically for you. Only you can write the story that you want for yourself.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the same as cartoonists. You got to be able to write. You got to write what you want to see, what you want to make for yourself, because no one's going to hand you something exactly how what you want to make.
Yeah.
You
know?
So if you like, you know, making stories about bears, no one's going to hand you the perfect bear story. You got to write the bear story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sammy also has been to Small Press Expo, and, like, you went to, what was the show you went to last weekend? The anime?
Oh, Otakon.
Yeah, you went to Otakon. Yeah. So, like, you've already been, and you also helped us out at AwesomeCon during Sunday at the table.
Yes.
So, how is your experiences with the conventions so far?
I like them a lot. I've been to a few of them, and they're pretty crazy and kind of overwhelming, and I usually spend all my money. But I could see myself working at a table there someday, which I know is a lot of work, but I think it's exciting. I really like it. I like the environment, and I'm excited to do that sometime.
What's your favorite part about being the table?
I don't know. I kind of just like the idea of having all my stuff and selling my stuff. I just like that.
That's a cool idea. I mean, do you enjoy the talking part? Do you enjoy when, like, a stranger...
I'm not very good at the talking part.
Why not?
I haven't done it yet.
What does that mean?
It means that I don't know. I don't know how to talk to people very well.
At your art show, at your art show, did you have to talk to people that would go up to your work and they're like, so what does this mean? Do you like tell them like, well, this is about, you know, I haven't seen that into your art show. Work.
Yeah, well, it was less at the art show and more when, more in class, I had to talk about my own work, which was, I don't know, I think... It was okay. I was talking to people who I kind of already knew, so maybe it was a little easier. But at the art show, this one like person's mother came up to me and she said that I made her cry.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a in a good way.
That's because, good though. You got an emotion.
Good. Yeah, I was like, good. Like, yeah, cry. But like,
you're like, cry.
You're like, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, like that's what I was looking for. But
bring the tears.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good experience.
How do you make people cry with your work? What's that? What's the?
I don't know. I didn't think it was that sad. It was like,
oh, it was sad.
It was sad. It was a sad story because we had to basically tell a story, but only with pictures, and we had to have certain things in our illustrations. Like we had to have a certain color scheme, a certain animal. I can't remember what the other things were. A certain setting. I took illustration for this pre-college, and my story was about this astronaut who goes into space, and he like finds these birds and he befriends the birds, only one of them, and then there's another bird and the birds fight and like one of the birds dies, and like that was the part where the woman was crying because I drew this one scene where the astronaut was like crying in his like spaceship, and he had all of this stuff that the bird gave him, and he ended up with the bird's like eggs.
Why did the birds fight?
Because one of them was like a bad bird. It was like a monster.
So he basically goes to another planet, finds a bird, or did he bring the birds with him?
He found the birds there. So they're space birds.
They befriend them.
So he found a bird on another planet and then learned that these people are just as angry at each other as we are on planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I've read off of that.
That's basically, yeah, kind of.
And he's like, it doesn't change.
Some of the gifts that the bird gave him, the astronaut?
The bird, I think, what did I do? I think they were drawings. They were drawings of the astronaut and the bird, like, playing. And
so, like, memories?
Yeah. It was, like, their time together in space. That's awesome. He was just left with these drawings, and the bird was gone. And he got the eggs, too.
So it led to, like, you know, possible future. What was he going to do with the eggs?
I don't know. They were going to hatch.
Go to another planet, hatch them over there.
Yeah, I think they hatched in the spaceship. I can't remember what my thought process was for this because some of the pages I didn't include in the book. But, I remember painting some baby chicks.
So this is crazy because imagine, like, I'm assuming, like, this astronaut, this is, like, his job. He's now, like, the beginning of, you know what Star Trek is supposed to be, where they're supposed to just go from planet. They're supposed to discover new lands, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a lonely astronaut has to do that by himself. So then when he finds his only friends, it's a bird, and they start like. Then the bird gets like. How did he get killed? Or how the bird?
By fighting the other bird.
But like technically, how do you like?
Did
he get like pecked in his eye and he died or something like that?
I actually painted an explosion.
What? So they have this type of technology on the bird planet?
Yeah, I don't know. Birds have magic powers.
That's awesome.
They're magic. Yeah.
Well, have you heard of, like, you know, crows, they actually leave gifts for humans.
Yeah, yeah. They were.
So that's cool.
I had, the birds were the certain animal I had to pick because that was one of our requirements. And so I picked the common loon. And so I made, a monster loon, which was like this giant bird, but it looked kind of gross and monstery, and that was supposed to be the good one. And then the bad one was the one that looks like more like ethereal and pretty, and that was also the same type of bird. So that's kind of what I ended up doing with that.
So why was that? Why'd you switch the normal aspects of what people thought would be a monster and will be like the hero bird, where you're like, you know, real monsters are nice.
I don't know. I thought it was less predictable and more interesting. I also thought it would be visually more interesting because I liked drawing the ugly one more.
Yeah.
The good one more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought it would be better that way.
Because that's totally like you know, that's like the Frankenstein style, because, you know, like Frankenstein turned out to be good, but then all the like the normal people were like, no, he's evil. He's
a monster.
He's a monster,
right.
But he's not. He's a nice monster, I think. I don't remember how it's supposed to go. He could end up being bad at the end. I'm not sure.
He was misunderstood.
Yeah.
He was created and he rose up.
So now that you have like, you know, you just got off of making that project and now you had to do a whole year of foundation. So are you still going to try to work on your own stuff while you're doing that?
I don't know. I don't know what I'll have have time for, because they make it sound really scary.
Really? Like, what words do they use?
Well, they don't use specific words, but...
They threaten with workload.
Yes, the cartooning students and the illustration students are the only majors who aren't allowed to go on exchange programs because we would miss too much work. Like, that sounds scary to me. I don't know what that means.
But it means that you're going to be doing what you want to do. Like, you get to draw, definitely. Right?
Yeah.
And then that literature class.
Well, there's a lot of classes I don't want to take this year, but...
Like what? I don't hear those back.
Like, I've said like sculpture.
You don't like sculpture?
I don't like sculpture.
Why is that?
Because I don't think I'm very good at sculpture. Like, I'm...
It's just not your medium.
Yeah, and I don't enjoy it, and I have to take art history.
That's the tough one for me. I had to take that I dropped out of art history twice.
Twice?
Because at least when I was taking it, there's a certain point in the class where like you can drop out of it and not have to, and you get a refund. Mm-hmm. You know. And I was like, I can't take this class right now. I'm not in the mindset. I'm going to drop it. So like I dropped it my first semester, and then the second semester I was like, I'm just gonna fail. I'm gonna drop out.
Oh my god!
I still got through it, but
that's good.
But still, because I don't know. What do you like about art history?
What do I like about art history?
Yeah, is there anything about?
I don't know. I've never actually studied art history, so I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it'll be really cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's really interesting, but then a lot of it is memorization.
That's the part that annoys me.
Yeah, because you're like, what year was this painting painted in? You're like, 1762. You're just like memorizing numbers and stuff, and that's really hard.
Yeah.
But like, there's also, what do they have? Like the Egyptian or the stuff that's even before. Like
before Christ, BC.
Paleolithic, monostrophic, and like all this stuff that has like 50 letters to it.
Right.
And you're supposed to like pick it out, multiple choice, or you're supposed to write it out. I'm like, I can't handle. I'm not trying to hear this right now.
Yeah, it's a lot to intake. It's a lot of memorization. That's what I had problems with, the memorization.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think I usually have problems with. But I'm not. I don't mean that I'm not excited for my first year.
Of course,
cool.
It's very.
No, no,
definitely
it's
excited.
The,
There's
it's
just
the
a
artistic
lot of classes
unknown.
That I'm not. I don't know what to expect. I don't know. What it's going to be like.
What's good, because like if it was predictable, you'd be like, I don't want to do it.
Well, it was interesting too, because the kids that, like, I guess whatever you want to call them, normal civilian kids that go to college, like, like they just go to school, like they go to their classes, and then they like have all this free time. It felt like they had all this free time.
Yeah.
But then when we have art assignments, like it takes time to like physically paint something or make something out of like... Whatever, you're like
your
sculpting
you're
class.
For much longer
like,
time.
You're gonna take time to make stuff. So like then, therefore, if you want to be a good student, you have like no time.
Right.
Like
if there's, you have five art classes, that's like your whole life.
Yeah. Like I never did like the whole partying scene and like all that crazy thing. I mean, I'm sure like art school has like its own version of that, but like I never really got even the time to do that.
There
just
was,
cause, like,
isn't there? There was sort
there
of like
was nothing.
People were trying to do a like, hey. Let's get together and like a sketch party where everyone would like 20 of us would draw in like an apartment, you know, and that you'd do something like that. That's equivalent to that
cool,
party.
Though, but like, you know, it's, but still you like, I don't know how big of the sculptures you're going to do, but I just remember doing a few big sculptures. It's like that type of stuff like takes time and energy and you have to get the equipment on top of it.
I feel like what's interesting about like my skill set was, like, when I was drawing, I felt like I was okay at drawing, but I felt like when I did sculpture, it actually helped me to understand, like, form. And I think that's probably why you have to take that.
Because
really, drawing is, like, seeing space, you know, seeing the spaces and shapes. But, like, what's the best way than actually physically doing things?
Right.
Like, have you drawn based off... Have you noticed any difference between drawing from, like, a photograph as opposed to drawing from, like, real life?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's... that. The next level of that is sculpting.
That's true.
You know what it is? It's like, oh, I know what the anatomy of this shape is because I actually touched it and I made it with my own hands. I think that's the theory, I'm assuming.
Probably, because the general foundation is like the basics for everything that you need to know. So that would make sense.
Yeah. And then also for the college, it's also the best way for them to weed out who's not ready for this.
But that's cool that you're already like accepted on your route to cartooning. Like you don't have to put in another portfolio after your foundation year.
Yeah.
So that's really good. Like you know like what you're aiming for.
Yeah. And they like to see that you're very focused in what you want to do. So that helped me because my whole portfolio was very cartoon oriented.
Yeah.
Oriented.
So and you also have like a, I guess, I don't want to say background, but you have like a affinity for animation as well.
Yeah.
So what type of shows do you like to watch, and what are you intaking as far as comics and animation or anything else?
I want to know what your first cartoon that you ever like fell in love with was
or
is.
My first cartoon?
Yeah, like me, mine was Ninja Turtles. So when you growing up, what was the first thing you watched?
I don't know. You mean when I was like a little kid? Like
Like that you love, that you're like, oh, I gotta watch this all the time.
What made you like want to go into it?
I watched a lot of Avatar: The Last Airbender. That was like my thing. That was
the Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I really loved that.
But you didn't love the movie?
No, of course not. I don't think anyone loved that movie. It was the worst experience. Avatar was definitely something I watched a lot. And Cartoon Network has a lot of good stuff that I like to watch too. But I don't watch as many cartoons now as I used to. I do a lot of, more like Netflix stuff.
Well, that's the wave of the future, so that's everything's going to be streaming anyway.
Right, yeah.
But that's cool though, like Avatars that was super popular,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But was that something, because that's a really like character-based show too.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that's based solely on like the Avatar style? Was there someone's style that you really enjoyed like growing up that you can pinpoint?
Not from a TV show. I was like really into Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim's awesome.
That was like,
And so was that movie.
I started. yeah, that was a really good movie though. I started drawing people because I really liked Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah,
and the
like
way,
Brian Lee O'Malley?
Yeah, the way he drew people seemed like something that I could do. So I started drawing people because I thought that maybe I could do something like him.
Yeah.
And so that really got me going.
That's totally like, do you think that Brian Lee has sort of like a Powerpuff Girl style too?
Yeah, I'd say it kind of is influenced by that.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I did watch that one.
Did you ever think like, oh, there's sort of like, because that's sort of like, how would you describe like Brian's style? Because he still
kind of
has
like a modern like American anime.
Because he has like that solid like, did you describe it as like the force field line?
Yeah, like around the edge like, yeah, of it. Yeah, like if there's like a thicker line around the edge of like the silhouette.
Because Curls in the beginning sort of had that,
yeah,
right?
Like my beginning comic strips were like that. Like I always used like a thicker pen just to outline the whole silhouette.
Yeah, I used to do that too. I don't know why I did that or where it came from.
Yeah.
But I was like, this looks really good. I'm going to do it forever.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've done a little more line variation since then, but I still remember, like, there's some people that still like that. For whatever reason, they, like, are like, oh, I like the originals better. But then, like, I'm like, I don't want to revert back to that, but that's cool that, like, I guess they like that part of it. So, like,
I don't know if there's anything wrong with it, but I wouldn't do it for, like, every single thing I draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, have you read? He has another book out called Seconds. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I did read it.
Okay.
It was really good. Yeah, cool. I read it in like a day. It's like super thick. It's like hundreds of pages, but it's really quick. It's really good.
Isn't it crazy how someone can work for, I don't know how long he worked on it for,
probably,
but let's just say 4 years, maybe five. I don't know. Could have been in his head for forever, but like, you know, it takes years, and you can read it in like less than a day.
Yeah, that would make me kind of sad for some reason, but
then I feel like you want to crave more. You know, you're like, oh, now
it sticks with you. It doesn't really matter how long it takes you to read it.
Yeah, you're like, now, Brian, get back to work. You have like 4 more years until the next book, and then I'll read it in a day.
Yeah, like there are some people who can read a Harry Potter book in like 3 days, but those books kind of stick with you too.
Well,
yeah.
Think about that when it comes to making a cartoon or a movie. It's like you work on an animated movie for like 3 years, and then people will just be done with it like in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, cool, that's it.
Yeah.
But
that's the hard thing about like our profession. Like you put all this time into it, and somebody can just like, even just if you do one single comic strip, it might take like an hour or two to do. Then you're just reading it in like literally 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay.
People spend, what is it, like average 6 seconds looking at a panel? I mean, a page? Yeah. What is it, a page?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
So crazy.
It's nothing.
Remember you're like, we were at Walmart looking at like the $2 bin of movies, and you're like, Joe, imagine if you had your movie in the $2 bin. I was like, I feel like crap.
Yeah, you would feel like crap. But there's a lot of good stuff in there. So I was like, oh.
Like, well, I was like, well, at least people are going to be able to buy it now, you know?
I mean, also, well, maybe if you think about it from a music perspective, some people's albums are like half an hour long, and then they spend like 2 years to work on that.
Yeah, that's why I think people feel like making art and being creative is so easy. Like, people don't understand how hard it is because the product that you come out with is, it's like smaller than what it started out as.
Yeah.
You know? It's a quick thing to get through.
And you know what's even, to me, the next level that's more, not frustrating, but some people have to sort of realize, it's the, I feel like the better that your work is, the easy it's going to be able to be digested by people.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's sort of like, you know, it's like, it's because it's so just seamless. People are like, wow, that's just beautiful.
Or they're already familiar with something, so it connects, and then that's what makes it more universal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough being an artist. It's tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you have to consider.
Yeah, you're already feeling like the toughness.
Yeah, I am. I don't really know what to expect from it, and like what kind of job I'm gonna have. Like, I don't really know what's gonna happen, but
it's always changing too, because like I feel like companies don't have like full-time artists on staff like all the time anyway. So it's like, I think freelance is involved with a lot of it. So do you know if SVA like teaches business classes also for like managing your art career?
I don't know. I think they do have, I think they have career assistance people, but I haven't really looked into it yet. I don't really know what to expect. I'm just trying to have an open mind.
Yeah.
And go with the flow.
Because I really wish like VCU or any art school like offers like some type of like business for artist class. Like even if it's just like a simple like 1-3 credit class, like at minimal. Because otherwise like you don't know, like all of a sudden you're like, wait, what's an invoice? Like I have to teach myself how to do all these things.
Yeah.
And like you're not really thinking like that because you've been practicing your technique for several years, you know?
Right.
And it's a whole nother thing, like
getting
work, dealing with clients, all of that is like a whole nother thing that it's basically like they don't teach it in art schools. I think things are changing, so that's good, but I really wish like there's some people out there that can just overall for artists, like they need that because they're not really business minded.
Yeah.
And I'm at least a little bit of business minded now, mm-hmm. but like there's so many artists I know who have like absolutely no clue, and in a way they're kind of selling themselves short because it could be a lot better if they like manage their career better.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you never know where anything's going to go, but yeah, just keep an eye out for that. If they do offer those classes.
Yeah, like, I definitely will look for that.
Cause that might be really helpful. And I know like also even like legal stuff too. That stuff is like a whole nother thing. And that's why like people have agents and all that stuff. But
yeah,
it's not
hard.
Really like the easiest thing to be like, yes, now I have a literary agent. Thank you very much, you know? So and then I've heard from some people that they don't need an agent and they still get work and they are able to like still retain everything and like do it on their own. So it works out for some people. And then some people like are like, I don't even want to look at this proposal unless you have an agent. So so, you know, who knows where everything leads, but that whole world is like, there's not, like I was saying, there's not like a single path to be like, this
right.
is how it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's cool. New York is like exciting. So you're leaving like in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving on the 26th.
Is this a dorm situation or are you going to actually get, or would you have like an apartment?
They're dorms.
Dorms,
it's
okay.
It's like a one big apartment building that has suites for all the kids.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So are you going to have like 3 or 4 people in your suite and then you share like a kitchen and all that?
For mine specifically, we have three bedrooms, 2 bathrooms and a kitchen. And so I think there's like six girls in the whole thing.
Are you looking forward to that? Is that like a, have you done that before?
I have done it before.
Okay.
I had to do it for pre-college, so I'm not super worried about it. I mean, hopefully I won't get like crazy people.
That's always the
I have to live with.
Yeah.
But maybe I will. I probably will have a few weird people.
But what if you are the crazy person?
If I'm the crazy person, then I guess they'll have to deal with it.
You're like, get out of the way. I need to choose bathroom.
Because to me, that's like the real challenge is in school. When you go to school, it's like, okay, who am I going to live with? Who? That's where the real drama is.
Yeah.
Do you get to pick your roommates or do you know anybody from your pre-college stuff?
Yeah,
or?
I know my roommate. I requested my roommate because I met
that's
her.
Cool.
Yeah, I met her during pre-college last summer. And so we decided that we would just try to room together for the first year.
Is it bunk beds?
No. Okay. I think some of the rooms are. I think some of them are, but...
I had bunk
beds. Yes, they are. What am I saying? They are bunk beds. What am I saying?
They're really bunk beds?
Yeah, but some of the people debunked the beds, and there was no room in their room.
Yeah.
But they are bunk beds. I don't know why I forgot.
I had bunk beds my first year, too. And there's, like, no way... Like, we both had, like, our... like small workstation and then the bunk bed, but there was like no other room to like really do anything.
Yeah, there is no room in there. You just gotta sleep in there and that's it.
Yeah.
I've never even had that situation. I'd feel really bad. First, that's that battle of who's gonna be on top or bottom.
Well, I got there first and I did choose the bottom.
Oh, so you just like took it?
Yeah, I just took it. Because I like even told my mom, I was like, let's get there first.
Did you already sort that out?
Yeah,
you,
I did sort that
you're
out.
You're just like,
yeah.
I'm taking, which one are you taking?
I'm on the bottom.
You're on the bottom?
Yeah, well, we talked about it and I was like, do you have a preference? And she was like, I don't have a preference. Like, whatever you want. And I was like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah. So I just picked the bottom.
Oh, you know, but she doesn't really mean that.
I think she does mean that.
She's like, I'm okay,
whatever. There's some people that they're chill, they don't care.
Yeah,
but...
she like told me all the benefits of sleeping on the top bunk and I was
what
like,
is
whatever.
It? What are
I don't
the benefits?
Know. I don't even remember what she said because I was like, no way.
I would be afraid to like roll off.
Yeah, well, like, there's bars. There's bars so you don't roll off.
I don't know, but I never even went up there. I'm just like, I'm going to stick back here.
Sometimes it's kind of nice. I was in the bunk, like the top bunk last year for pre-college and it wasn't bad. It's just really hard because like, obviously you don't have a side table for any of your stuff or a lamp. Like that's the hardest part.
And you can probably get a clip lamp or something.
Yeah. I'm getting a clip lamp for this year, even though I don't really need it, but.
Oh, you'll find a way.
I'll find a use for that.
But you're going to be living in the city though. Have you, I mean, I'm assuming like you already know the places you're going to go hang out or have you already scoped out like the places you want to see?
Yeah. I kind of know the area around the school, but I'm still new to the city.
Yeah.
I don't really know a lot of the places that, I don't know. I still have a lot of exploring to do there.
I feel like the exploring is never going to end when it comes to New York.
Yeah, there's a lot of hidden places to go to. Just like
the underground.
Secret, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
You can take the train all the way to Coney if you want to, then just stay on there the whole time.
I could do anything.
What are the places that you do like in New York? You've been there before. Have there been places that, like, I guess that are not really, like, touristy places that, like, you like? Like, you're like, oh, I like hanging out at the Village, or I like going to Brooklyn, or stuff like that.
Every year I go to the bookstore Strand. That's, like...
We've been there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I could spend the whole day in there. I think that's a really great place. And Forbidden Planet, the, like, cool comic book bookstore place. I like that one a lot.
What is this? Like off of Union Square? Is that what
it
is?
Yeah, I think so. And
that's that place where they have that Italia restaurant, but isn't that where
Italy?
Italy?
Yeah, Italy.
Awesome.
Yeah, they have really good gelato and stuff.
I could live there too.
Yeah, you could live there.
Just like roll up in a ball, like, and then use like that big cheese wheel as my pillow or something.
You could.
Like, whenever I've taken, like, a new friend to, like, not a new friend, but a friend to New York that's never been to New York, we just, like, I don't know, we park in Brooklyn, and then we just take the train, and we just, like, just go. Like, wherever.
Like, to Italy?
To Italy, probably. But, like, we're just like, all right, where do you want to go? Let's just take a left.
I'd be too afraid of getting lost.
Well, yeah, you definitely get lost. And then, but that's the best part. Like, oh, wow, this is where Little Italy is. Oh, look, now we're in the Bowery. Like, this is where... Now we're in Soho. It's like just discovering by walking is always interesting too.
Yeah.
I never made it to Harlem though. That's a little uptown for me. It's very. I did get lost in Central Park because.
Because it's huge. Yeah.
And I assume that's just like two blocks, but it's not.
It's not. No. It's like half the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was What's the first order of business when you get to New York? What are you going to do? Are you just going to get ready to go to school? Or are you just going to go out and enjoy the heat that's probably still happening when you get there?
First is orientation week, so we have all these activities already planned for us. So, I think I have a lot of free time in that too, so I can get settled and like set up my dorm room and stuff and get to know people.
Yeah.
But then after that, classes start, and it's just like you go from there.
Yeah.
You're in the heat of things. Yep. Then.
See, to me, my favorite moments of any of school was the first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks of every semester. In between that, it's just sort of like you're just in just this, you know, hustle to do whatever.
Yeah.
But those are the most romantic times, I think. Especially since you're going to be in New York for like the holiday times too, right? Or at least when it starts to get like colder.
Yeah.
That's my favorite time, like that, the fall. Because hot, I mean, it's hot in New York.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Walking around in 90 degree weather.
Just drenched in sweat.
Yeah. But it's also hard when it's freezing cold, too.
Yeah, it gets really cold.
Yeah.
It's like you definitely need to invest in some scarves.
Some scarves and some boots and heavy winter coats. Yeah.
Do you think after this first semester, because I'm assuming you're going to come home for like the holidays, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to be like a tougher person and be like, I'm changed.
You're like, I'm thug.
Because I've lived through New York.
Everyone always says that. We have a friend that always says, like, ever since I lived in New York, I'm a different person. Man, you don't know the things I've seen.
Probably not. I'm not living on my own or anything. I'm still like sheltered in school.
How much they do shelter you? Like, is it something where you like to go into any class? You have to slide a card. You have, you know, like stuff like that.
I don't know. I don't know. I have an ID that I have to show in every building that I go to, but it's not like I have a curfew or anything. I don't think there's really real restrictions.
It's New York, man. It's free all the way.
Yeah, you just do whatever you want, I guess.
But the downside is like there might not even be that much time to go out.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know how much I'll be able to do.
Yeah, you might be able to go to a few restaurants or something, but then that's probably it.
Yeah, I don't have any money either, so like, I can't even go to restaurants. But no, I'll find stuff to do. I'll find time. I'll do my work and be responsible about it. So.
The Met?
Yeah.
Have you been to the Met?
I have, yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah, it's a good place. They have like little areas too where you can just like sketch and do your work.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember there's a time. You ever see the movie Cloverfield?
Nope.
Have you heard about it?
No.
It is a you know Godzilla?
Yes.
Have you seen the Blair Witch Project?
No.
Well, pretty much, if you can imagine, it's a it's found footage movie of a monster destroying New York.
What?
And for some reason, that's how like whenever I'm in New York recently, I'm like, man, imagine if a giant monster came out of the water and just started destroying everything.
That's how it always happens. The monster movies are always in New York.
Yeah.
It's always in the city being destroyed.
Just pushing buildings over.
And the superhero movies too. They just like
destroying
everything.
Things.
Yeah.
And everyone's okay afterwards.
Yeah. It's like it didn't even cost any money. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why those images always stick in my head. It's like no one's going to go and destroy. Do you ever hang out in Brooklyn? That seems to be like a hot place now.
No, I only went to Brooklyn to do a college visit for Pratt, but I haven't done anything else there.
It's crazy because like I don't know, during just growing up recently, that became, it first started out as like, you know, not a cool place to hang out.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, like, I feel like it started with, like, I wouldn't say it started with this, but, like, you know that band, The Strokes?
I think so. I think I just listened to them this morning.
Yeah, you probably did. But, like, then that started almost like that hipster movement in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
so, like, now it's, like, being this ultra transformed into, like, this.
Yeah, now it's super expensive.
Now it's freaking expensive.
Even just to eat there is very expensive.
Yeah.
Like,
I got, like, 3 tacos for, like, $24. I was like, what?
And then
cash
even,
only?
Wasn't like the, what was that salad? Like the spinach seaweed salad or whatever? It was like seriously like not even a cup. Like it was probably like 3/4 of a cup. Which a cup is not even that big.
Yeah.
But how much was that? Like $12 or $13?
Yeah.
Just for that. And I was I mean, it tasted great, but I was like, dang, pricey.
I remember like the last time we stayed and I was like, usually when I stay at someone's place up in New York, I treat them like, hey, since you're, you know, we're crashing your place, I'm going to treat you to like a meal or whatever. Whatever you want. Night's on you. And then like, as soon as we chose a location, I can see like the concern on his face because like, I got it covered. And he's like, are you sure, man? Are you sure? It's like, yeah. And then when we get there and we get to, like, the pay the check, it was like, it was extremely expensive, but then it was also cash only. And like, there's all this place that's just cash only. It's like, ugh. And then I don't want to go to an ATM because then they charge your card for like $5 just to pull it out. I don't know. This is, I don't know how people do it, man.
I guess they just have to be rich. Yeah. Like, that's the only way.
Yeah. Apparently, that's the only way of life.
Yeah.
You gotta be rich, man.
Yeah. You just gotta. But so there's certain areas in Brooklyn where it's a little bit more affordable, but they're further out on, like, what is it? That silver type train, like, what is it, the L?
Silver line?
L. It's not, I'm thinking like the line. Silver, no, but it's like, no, a, it's like a line, guys. I know we're in
L-M-N-O.
DC. No, it's like the L
Street. It's the L train.
I think it's the L.
L train, the silver, yeah, it is a gray.
But it's like, it's a gray color, that's what I was getting at.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not like the silver metro.
Because that L will take you from Brooklyn all the way up to...
Yeah, but the further out you go on the L, that's like more affordable. The closer
to Jersey we get. Yeah. That's really... So you don't think... See, I'm interested. Usually there is a modification of someone's character after at least the first semester outside of school.
Maybe. I don't know what that'll be.
Watch, you come back and you have a totally different hair color.
That could happen. That could totally
happen. I want you to have like a gold chain with like a money symbol on it. Be like, yeah.
You get really, really...
I'm rich now.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Hey guys, I'm back.
But have you heard stories like that of like when they come back from school, now they're like you know, like, I don't know, now they're totally into hip hop or something?
I don't know. I don't know a lot of people in college. I don't really have a lot of older friends.
Is there anything that you're afraid of going into the school? Not worried, but you're like, just like, I'm afraid that, you know, like, I'm gonna, you know, like, one day, like, all my roommates are gone, or I'm just, you know, like,
oh,
stuff
my God.
Like that.
I don't know. I'm kind of afraid of getting lost, even though it's probably hard to get lost in
New York
City. Yeah.
It's just a grid, right?
Yeah, it's just a grid. I don't know. It's kind of an irrational fear, I guess.
No, it's a real fear. I would be worried about, like, trying to find the place I want to get to.
Yeah. I hope I can finish all my work. I hope that can happen.
How far away are your classes from your dorm?
I haven't looked to see where all of them are, but I think most of them are only a few blocks away.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good. Seems pretty condensed.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you'll do good.
I hope so.
Yeah. Like, there's not going to be some big monster or, like, some crazy thing happening in the streets.
Man, but that's, like, the stuff that'll make life
that's
so interesting.
That's the stuff that Joe wants to happen.
Giant sea monster come and destroy.
He talks about it every time we go to New York. Like,
you got to see that. You
like,
gotta
a
see
monster
that movie.
Is going
to
come.
You got to see that movie. I'll give it to you so I can buy the Blu-ray version. Like that. It's actually, it's a good example of my idea of what New York is.
Or what it should be.
What it should be. All of a sudden, you're just hanging out. Then you see, like, this, all of a sudden, the head of the Statue of Liberty just comes crashing through the streets.
No, that's a nightmare. That's horrible.
Yeah, like, what if Sammy watches that before she leaves? Like, she's going to have nightmares or something. Like, what are you trying to do to her?
But see, then after that, when you come back, you're like, yeah, well, I survived it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You're like, I survived Cloverfield. I went through it all. Like...
You're going to watch that movie, then you're going to be like, man, it would be fun, but I don't want it to happen.
Yeah. It'd be fun for like 5 minutes until, like, you know, then everyone's dead.
And We're all running, trying to escape on a helicopter.
Yeah.
Or you're trapped in a building while the monster's below you.
Oh, my God.
So you've already seen, like, the where you're living, where you're
Yeah. I had to live there for the past 3 years.
Oh, so it's just the same exact spot?
It's the same
spot. The same room?
Probably not the same room.
All right, I was gonna be like, what, the same room? You're gonna like etch your name like into like the wall and stuff like that.
How is the shower situation there? Do they just have like one
big... That's a great question.
No, I want to know because like for FVCU we had like this hall, like our big hall, and then like they had shower stalls that weren't very wide or anything, but there's maybe like six or so of them, and like just like a little curtain, and you went in there and did your thing, and then that was it. But it was like the whole floor. I don't know how many people lived on the floor, but I don't know. It was a lot.
That sounds terrible.
But you have yours. You said you had two bathrooms. So.
Yeah, we have two bathrooms for like
for six
people. So that's two showers for six people.
Okay.
How many showers do you really need, though? One more? One more would be comfortable, right?
One more would be like really good because sometimes it's hard to wait for people. But all of our classes are different times in the morning anyway, so it's not like we're all going to be fighting for the showers.
Someone's going to be fighting
be fighting, but I don't think it'll be as chaotic as it was for pre-college.
Was it really chaotic then?
It was because everyone was up at the same time. Everyone was kind of doing the same thing. And for the first week, we didn't have a schedule set in the dorm. Oops. And so it was just like it was like first come, first serve for shower. Yeah. And a lot of people woke up at the same time. So there was a lot of waiting and it was just a mess.
You'll figure it out once you get into the groove. But now that I think about it, my second dorm after freshman year had 8 people with 2 bathrooms. Because it was 4 rooms, 2 people each room, 2 bathrooms.
That's a lot of people for 2 bathrooms.
Yeah. We were able to figure it out. Like, I don't remember ever having a problem. I mean, there might have been some time where someone was using it and I just waited, so...
Yeah.
I mean, and then if you, like, if you really need to go to class, you just go to class. You know, like, you just don't shower.
Bathrooms elsewhere.
Yeah, or you find a way, you know, like, so, yeah. I mean, I don't remember there being a problem over the bathrooms, though. But, yeah, we worked it all out, so.
Do you like hanging out on rooftops?
Rooftops? I've never been on a rooftop. Oh, man. When have I been on a rooftop?
I don't know. To me, that's, like, the crucial New York thing. Whenever I go to New York, I'm like, all right. Does your apartment have a rooftop? We need to go there now.
I don't think that's allowed.
What?
I don't know if we have a rooftop. It's probably just like there's probably nothing up there.
Yeah, but that's the best part. But it's a rooftop and you can see like all across from you.
If I have an apartment that's already on the 17th floor, then
that'd
see
probably
a lot.
Be a pretty awesome.
Pretty close to the roof.
That'd be a pretty good view from up there.
Yes.
That's where the hangout spot, at least for me, was. Because it's... The New York rooftop, that's like where like the true like view of the city, at least for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the Spider-Man view, you know? You're just like, I can just run to the next rooftop right next to me.
Right.
I can start a garden up here.
Yeah, the garden rooftops are so pretty.
Yeah, see, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I think that's what you need to brigade your like whole dorm to be like, let's start a garden rooftop.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And then it's like, someone stole my peppers. Who stole my peppers?
Yeah, like, college is just anything goes. People will be up at 4 a.m. working on something. Or, like, you might have dinner at 4 a.m., have breakfast at 4 a.m., have who knows what happens. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just like a 24... It literally is like a 24/7. It's not like everyone's going to bed now. You know, it's like anything is anything.
That'll be weird to get used to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what would be a good TV show for you to, like, watch to get in the mindset of, like school in New York. Probably Felicity. You ever seen Felicity?
Nope.
Do you know of the director J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was
who
his.
Also did Cloverfield.
He produced Cloverfield. But, you know, he did like Mission Impossible 3 and like the Star Trek movies or the recent ones. Mm-hmm. But he started out with a TV show called Felicity that stars Carrie Russell. And it's basically just about her going to school in New York.
Oh.
So it's like this awesome, like, I don't know, it's really cool because, like, to me, I was like, wow, this is must be how it is.
Cool.
They actually shot it at NYU, so look it up. It's fine. Or not. Just watch an episode somewhere.
Look
yeah, look,
I'll
it, look up. It up. So yeah, that's I always try to, like, you know, these are how I relate to people. Like, watch this movie. It's New York. There's a monster and there's a girl with her college drama.
And chaos.
Yes. Chaos everywhere.
Either that or watch Do the Right Thing about black people in a corner in Brooklyn.
That's a little different.
It's different. It's different school. Totally different.
That's a very different thing.
Yeah.
It's New York, though.
Oh, there's another good New York show called like How to Make It in America. You ever heard of that show?
No.
No.
I haven't heard of anything.
That's good, though. This is how you hear about it.
Yeah. You got to engulf every show, everything.
So many things take place in New York.
I don't know how to make it in America.
You don't know how to make it in America?
Well, I've heard of the title, but I don't know what it is.
Devil Wears Prada take place in New York.
That movie was okay.
Any Woody
really
Allen
like
movie?
It.
Do you like Woody Allen?
I don't know.
As in no?
As in I don't know. I don't know That's if I've seen.
Undecided.
Yeah.
Pretty much like majority of his movies took place. There's certain people that are like known as like New York filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Martin Scorsese or like Spike Lee and stuff like that. Whatever. Look it up.
Woody Allen is basically like the original hipster.
Yeah, he's the original hipster comedian. That's how I talk. You notice that now. All I do is like, here, watch this. Watch this, read this. Then I go out into my dark corner.
Aw. Well, it's great having you, Sammy.
Thanks. Thanks to be here. Yes.
Thanks for everything you've already done.
Yeah.
And she's also been helping make like a zillion buttons for our Kickstarter, which I'm sure you're like,
It's okay. It's just ingrained now. I could do it in my sleep.
Yeah. And you've been a big trooper about that. And we're making some cool stuff and going to continue to make some cool stuff this fall when we go to school.
Yep.
It's amazing. Like, I'm in a way, like, a little bit jealous, but also I know, like, I went through something similar. But also, like, I'm like, dude, you're going to rock it. You know, like, you have so much opportunity waiting for you there, and, like, so many awesome people have graduated from there.
Yeah,
because we were talking about, like, Rebecca Sugar and all these other, like, influential people that are, like, super young, but, like, making it, like, in a few years out of school. So, like, who knows what's going to happen? It's almost like anything can happen. Like, anything can happen to you.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
That's what's really, like, that's the coolest thing. It's, like, there's no, like, path, you know?
Yeah.
So, do you have a website that you want to pitch out to the world for them to follow you? If not, that's okay.
I have a Tumblr, but I don't know if that counts. Does that count?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to pitch it, pitch anything.
Okay, it's chubbymanatee.tumblr.com.
Awesome. Sweet.
Yes, that's what I got.
Sweet. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I thought you were great. First time podcast, hopefully not the last.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is... that's it, man. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work. JoeCarabello.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com and one-shots.com. Also, Carolyn's work. Check her out every Monday. Curls-studio.com. Check out Curls. Curls-studio.com/curls. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
You got it.
Right.
Or you can go to CarolynBolesky.com.
Also, CarolynBolesky.com.
Check out portfolio stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know where you guys are listening to this, but you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and CarolynAndJoeShow.com. Sammy, you're great.
Yes,
absolutely
thank you.
Great. Absolutely great. So, everyone, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. We'll check you out next time. See you, Carolyn.
Adios. Now,